With me in the reading of the Christmas litany. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.
For he has visited and redeemed his people.
The day spring from on high has visited us to give light to those who sit in darkness.
And to guide our feet into the way of peace.
For unto us a child is born.
Unto us a son is given.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Thanks be to God for his gift beyond words.
Mine eyes have seen thy salvation,
which thou hast prepared before the face of all people.
Thank you.
be to thee, Lord God our Father, who hast chosen us in Jesus Christ our Lord for the foundation of the world.
Behold, what manner of love is our Father, thou hast bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God.
Thou hast blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Thou hast delivered us from the power of darkness, and hast translated us into the kingdom of thy dear Son.
O thou who art the one of God and Father of all, who hast redeemed us through Jesus Christ, thy Son, we beseech thee, quicken us who have been dead in trespasses and sins.
For the sake of that great love wherewith thou hast loved us, make us to live in Christ our Lord.
O Emmanuel, thou Savior of the world,
manifest thyself to us.
By thy holy incarnation, by thy human birth, by thy pure and blameless childhood, by thine obedience and diligence, by thy humility, meekness, and patience, by thine extreme poverty, by thy griefs and sorrows, by thy prayers and tears, by thy having been despised and rejected, by thy cross and passion, by thy death and burial, by thy triumphant resurrection and ascension.
Help us and save us.
God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
May we all, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, be changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord.
May be seated. If you will remain seated while the Love Feast is served, and follow your order of worship to share in the Christmas carols as they are listed.
Thank you.
I'm sure by now that you are thoroughly confused. My name is David Burkett. I'm pastor of Calvary Moravian Church in Winston-Salem. And you are now being involved in a love feast. And perhaps the question in your mind at this moment is, what is a love feast? It has a New Testament origin. For in the second chapter of Acts, in verse 46 especially, we read there where these early Christians partook of food with glad and generous hearts. Then the writer of the book of Jude spoke of the misconduct of some of the church people in relationship to their love feast, and he called this misconduct blemishes on their love feast. It was simple. It was simply the practice of coming together in church to eat a simple meal together. Somewhere along the end of the first century, or certainly early in the second century, the practice was discontinued in the church. In the Moravian church, the practice was begun again in 1727 in Herrenhut, Germany, in connection with the renewal of our church. It is simply a fellowship meal that we use to celebrate special occasions in the life of our congregation, such as Christmas, for example. You are being served now a sweetened bun that we refer to as the Love Feast bun. You will be served by these same persons in a few moments a cup of sweetened coffee. Then after we have been served, we will have a blessing and partake together, signifying our oneness and our unity in the Christian faith. And that simply is what a love feast is.
Oh. in blossom flowered mid the snows upon a winter night was born a child, a Christmas rose, the King of love and light. The angels sang, the shepherds sang, the great father.
Oh,
ever mindful that any meal that we might partake of is a blessing that comes from God, we always pause before we partake of our love feast and pray our Moravian blessing. You find this blessing printed in the program for today, and I would ask that you join with me in praying together this blessing. And then as we partake of the love feast, it is a good time to meditate upon the special blessings that this season of the year brings to each of us. Would you join with me in the blessing? Come, Lord Jesus, our guest to be, and bless these gifts bestowed by thee. Amen. And now we shall partake as the choir will sing for us.
Thank you.
In our church, for Christmas Eve celebration, Celeste Feast is only half the service. Following the serving of Celeste Feast, as we have just experienced here, and incidentally, those who serve Celeste Feast are called deaners. We have both men and women. The ladies always wear white. It's simply a German word meaning the servers. They serve the love feast, and then we serve and to the congregation individual candles. We could not do this here today, but I brought along some candles that you might see what we have. And I was noticing Dr. and Mrs. Lally that a few moments ago they sang Morning Star, the choir did. And Morning Star is sung while these candles are distributed, and I noticed Mrs. Lally was singing Morning Star along with them. She was in Winston-Salem for a number of years, as you know, and I'm sure they attended these candlelight services on numerous occasions. The candlelight service in our church had its origin in 1749 in the German village of Marienborn, when a bishop of our church, a man by the name of de Vaudeville, brought together the children of that community on Christmas Eve and told them the Christmas story, along with singing of Christmas carols. And then at the conclusion of his telling the story to them, he gave to each child a lighted candle trimmed with red ribbon. And he told them, he gave this lighted candle to the children as a simple reminder that Christ came into the world as the light of the world. And he said this red ribbon on the candle is symbolic of the blood of Christ that was shed for our sins. This tradition has been handed down to us through all of the succeeding generations, and we use this as a simple way of celebrating the birth of Christ in our church. In the particular congregation that I serve, being in downtown Winston-Salem, we have to have three services in order to accommodate those who would come. We will serve on Christmas Eve between 2,200 and 2,500 people at those three services. People go away from there saying to us, we are now ready to celebrate the birth of the Christ. We've had these simple reminders to us again of the importance of this event, of the Christ coming, and each one takes this candle home with them as a reminder. The candle, incidentally, is made primarily of beeswax, and beeswax is a symbol of purity in itself. The wick is the heart of the candle. This symbolizes the soul that is within the heart of each of us that the Christ child came to save. And so we hope that this morning we have been able to share with you just a little bit of something of the Christmas spirit of Winston-Salem, and that as you are here in the midst of your examination period, that this has been a refreshing break for you for these few moments. May the Lord bless you throughout this Christmas season and grant unto him all of his joy and peace and happiness. Turn to the hymn again, if you will, Joy to the World, the Lord is Come.